We have a great panel of speakers tonight from both AA and Al-Anon to share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Our first speaker tonight is Stan C., a member of Alcoholics Anonymous from Longport.
My name's Stan, I'm an alcoholic. Can you hear me? My name's Stan, I'm an alcoholic. I want to say welcome to all the newcomers, those who identify. We're glad you're here. I get choked up right now. And we hope you stick around long enough to hear our message of hope, and that you can recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. No matter how far down the scale you've gone, no matter how bad you might think you have it, you can recover, get sober, stay sober, and live a good and decent life. And that's what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. If I didn't find that here, I wouldn't be here tonight. So I just want to read something real quick before I get started. And this is kind of like the whole topic. But it's in chapter 7, working with others. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is a bright spot of our lives. I had no idea that was going to be the bright spot of my life. You know, I showed up here May 30th, 2013. My life had been completely barbecued by what alcohol and drugs were doing to it, and especially what this thing was doing to it. You know, I had no idea that my life was going to change for the better. All I know is that when I showed up here May 30th, 2013, I did not want what I had. You know, and what I had was a little spot over in Gersh Park in Goleta. I had my little Raider blanket. I had my little speakers. I had my little laptop. And I had my little cheap vodka and a water bottle. And I had my other stuff. And I would go in the restroom, do that. And I'd come back out and I would drink. And I thought I thought I was living it up, you know. I like to call it, I was living on Fantasy Island, you know. I was able to check out of here. And the reason why I share that is because I've been in and out of the rooms, in and out, man, since 2001. But I knew that day when I was at that park, it was like the black and white of reality finally hit, and I didn't want what I had anymore. And what my head was telling me is, you know what, Stan, you're going to die out here. If you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to die. You know, and then on top of that, I had you people from being in and out of the room so much. You guys were talking in the background saying, hey, you know what, Stan, there's a price to pay. Are you willing to pay that price today? And I just knew I didn't want what I had anymore. And I thank God I made it back to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened that particular day is, for me, my story is it took me seconds and inches, man, is how I got here. And on that day, May 30th, I don't know why I didn't pick up drinking. I don't know why I didn't pick up the drugs. But I went to this little program, a little outpatient program, because I'm one of them guys who go in and out of jail. I find God in jail, and I always leave him there. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I always leave him there, right? I always tell God, hey, you know what? I'll be back, you know, and I keep going back. Anyways, you know, here I am in trouble again. And so I went to this outpatient program, and I was sitting in a group of guys, and it finally hit me. You know what, Stan? It was like I heard the pop. And you know what, Stan? If you want to get sober, this isn't the place. I need to take my butt back to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got to that meeting. And like I said, seconds and inches, I walked out of that outpatient program. And there's a story in the book about a guy like me who likes to jaywalk. And I was a jaywalker. And I was looking ahead, and my daughter was getting out, coming out of the house and getting into her car. And I was like, I wonder where she's going. And so if I would have waited for that light to turn green in order for me to cross the street, I would have missed the whole thing. But instead, I jaywalked and I ran over there and I said, hey, where are you going? She's like, I'm going to a meeting, Dad. In other words, she was telling me, I'm going to a meeting, you asshole. Excuse my language. Anyways, I asked her, could I go with you? She's like, yeah, get in. And I went, and there was a gentleman who was just standing up here a minute ago. He was the first person I ran into in that parking lot. And he hugged me, and he was like, man, is that you? And he gave me a hug, and he hugged the tears right out of me. And he said, welcome back. I got in that meeting, and my first sponsor, Jason, was sitting at the other end of that meeting. And when I seen him, I knew I had to ask that guy to be my sponsor. And from that moment until this, and I asked him with tears, man, and from that moment until this, that obsession to want to drink had been lifted. And there's no other explanation. Even at the time, I couldn't figure it out, but it was God doing for me what I could not do for myself. That very day, you know, God lined up the angels to get me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous so I can change my life. And what happened was I got with that sponsor, and he told me the first direction he gave me. He said, you know what, read up to page 60. When you get up to the ABCs, let's get together. Let's go over the first three steps, and we'll outline the fourth. And on my third day, I gave him a call. And I don't think he thought I was going to call him, but I called him. And he said, all right, I'll be right there. I was staying at the shelter. And he came over, and we went over the first three steps. We got on our knees, and we started doing this third step prayer. And the first thing when I got up, I realized we're sitting right in front of a dumpster. And I was like, I had to look around. I wonder if the homies see me. And I was like, you know what? No, that's not what this is about. You know? And what happened was I got busy working steps. And right after working them steps, I got busy in the service. And for me, this really means a lot to me. Being a service is everything to me. Because I wouldn't have the life that I have today if I didn't get busy in Alcoholics Anonymous, if I didn't get busy working steps, if I didn't get busy taking commitments, if I didn't get busy working steps with other guys and sponsoring a whole bunch of other people. I'll tell you what, I've got a pretty good success rate. You know, I'm still sober. Since May 30th, 2013, I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink, you know, but I found it necessary to do some other things, like practically barbecue my life, because I get in here. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but it tells me in the big book, man, alcoholic illness centers in my mind rather than my body. I get in here long enough, and I start making decisions based on selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, fear. And those are the things I used to love when I was drinking. And man, today, man, that's like poison for a guy like me, you know? So I keep coming to meetings, I keep being a service, and my life starts to progressively get better. And I wanted to share this story because it has a lot to do with service. And so my first job I got at 80 days, I put in a resume to this ad. It was a cook job, and I was like, all right. So I send my resume to this guy, and this guy emails me back. He's like, I'm going to give you a call. And I'm like, sure. So he gives me the call, and I forgot on my resume, I did volunteer work at the Central Coast Alanum Club way back my first time around. And he called me up. He's all, hey, man, it says right here you did some volunteer work at Central Coast Alanum Club. And I was like, oh, man, he's going to turn me down, because he'd be like, hey, you know what? You're one of them guys that can't hire you. And I was like, and I had to be honest, right? So that's what the program taught me. I had to be honest. So I was like, yeah. He's like, man, that's great. He's like, are you a friend of Bill? And I just heard cha-ching. I knew I had the job. So I was like, yeah. And he's like, that's great. How many years do you have? And I was like, oh, man. I go, you know what? To be honest with you, I'm coming back from a relapse. I got 80 days. I'm working steps. I got a sponsor. He's all, well, that's great. I got 8 years. He's all, if you want to come down and check it out, he's all, I'll hire you. And I was like, that's great. But the job poster never said where it's at. And he's all, well, I'm over at the Maverick over in San Ynez. And I was like, oh, man. So I go, sure, I'll come down and check it out. And I went down there. He's one of us. I got the job. And something happened one day. It was like the second day I went to go work. Because my head was already telling me, oh man, Stan, because I didn't have any way, I had no idea how I was going to get to this job and how I was going to get home. And every day I went to work, and it was late at night. I don't know who's going to come pick me up to bring me back to Santa Maria, but for some reason I kind of put it out there, and I had friends from the rooms that would come and pick me up, and then we'd have a meeting on the way home. And so on the second day I was going, I was thinking, man, this is kind of way out there. My head's telling me, you know what, dude? Yeah, you know, this is going to be a little hard job for you to constantly keep getting out there. And my perception changed to where I'm thinking, you know what? This guy gave me a chance when no one else in this world would give me a chance. And my perception changed to where, you know what? I'm just going to be a service to this guy no matter what, no matter how much he's going to pay me. I got to get it out of my head that someone's willing to give me a chance. Why not be a service to them? And that's gone for everything. Every job I've had since then, not once have I ever complained about my job, like, oh man, it's going to be too much. I just see it more or less that I'm just being a service to some people that are willing to give me a chance. Because prior to that, my head would tell me, you know what, no one's going to give you a chance, Dan. You might as well go drink and barbecue your life again. And I haven't had to do that here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and so I'm more than willing to sit down with any man who's not gone through the first 164 pages, who has not worked all 12 of these steps, because someone did that with me and my life changed for the better. Why would I not want to give that back? And I'll tell you what, since I've been here, I've sponsored a whole bunch of men, but like I said, I'm still sober. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't put like orders on somebody, hey, you better call me every day or anything like that, man. I just do simply what my first sponsor, Jason, showed me, you know. And my sponsor, Jason, eventually he moved away and he was telling me, hey, you know what, you're going to have to find someone local. And the first person I thought, because Jason knew, had a knowledge of the Big Book, and the only other person I knew that had a good knowledge of the Big Book was my sponsor that I have today. And I love the lineage that I come from with my sponsor today, you know. We talk on an everyday basis, you know. I didn't think, I was like, I don't know. Anyways, it's just, I'm grateful for the people that I've met here in Alcoholics Anonymous too, because it's not just my sponsor, it's everybody else that I have, that I get to lean on the fellowship, you know. My first sponsor told me, he said, you know what, if you stick in the middle of recovery, unity, and service, you have a good chance of sticking around here. And that's all I've ever done, is just stay in the middle of that, man. That's like staying in the middle of the herd. But I'm grateful. I don't know how much time I got left. I don't know if there's, no one was even paying attention. Anyways, I got 15 more minutes. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I'm just truly grateful, and that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.